Gospel of John, chapter 14. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And God and Father, here we are. Thank you for your word. Spirit of God, honor it. Help us to lay hold of its magnificence. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, we've come to the point in chapter 14, up in the upper room, before he goes out to be crucified. And we share together that he makes a very awesome and wonderful statement to them. They're to be his witnesses. They're to represent him after he's gone. That's their assignment. And in order to do so, they needed to be able to understand the relationship that God made possible so that they could represent him properly. They can't represent God without God. Can't do that. Can't have anything about God apart from God. So therefore, he tells them in a most wonderful way that looking to see, to understand who he is, and they needed to understand the words and works, bear witness to who he is, that he's God, I am that I am, and I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. I am the Father. I am all of it. I'm standing in front of you. Now, so therefore, we share together, verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. At least look at the evidence. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. Why? Because I go unto the Father. Now, and whatsoever he shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So God, you told them, as the Lord Jesus Christ for 3 1/3 years has evidenced to the disciples, to the people, who he is. Now, the disciples, the apostles, believers, are going to be able to go and rightly represent him in a continued way. The same works, the same words, the awesome movement. You're going to be able to do that, you guys, if I could say it that way. And so Peter, James, and John, be encouraged, be stimulated. Now, and it's an awesome section, which, as you turn the pages of the God's Word after the Gospel of John, it's all about verse 12. Greater works shall you do than I have done. It's all about that. So if we miss this, then we miss the rest of it. So sliding over, if I can, to Ephesians. We've been on it a little bit just to remind us. Ephesians and chapter 1. Well, chapter 2 better. Ephesians in chapter 2, and picking up in thought, if I may. And you hath he quickened, verse 1, 2, 1, quickened to make alive. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. So they were dead. They were present tense, they're dead, and they stay dead. Verse 5. Even when you were dead in sins, hath quickened, made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. So they were spiritually dead, and spiritually dead means dead. That means, just reminding ourselves, because we say the word, if you were dead physically, you would have zero connection to anything on earth. You would have no connection. It wouldn't matter anything, anyone, anywhere, anyhow. Would make any difference whatsoever if you're dead physically. They were dead spiritually. They're going to die physically, but they were dead spiritually. They have that disconnect. They don't have They don't have the FM. They don't have the instrument. They don't have the means. There's no way they can go from here to God. We're in His presence. He's different. There's no way to get there. It isn't that God isn't. He is. But you just can't get there. And if you don't understand that, all you got to do is think of the whole world with 7 million people plus. They can't get there. They don't get there. You don't hear it in the news. You don't hear it. People aren't thinking of God, His wonderful person and presence. They aren't doing that because they're spiritually dead. Well, they have no connection. Now, so God, here we are looking, and so we need to understand that. And we need to understand it because, like in Hebrews, why not turn there? And in chapter 6, reminding ourselves that believe people, young people that are saved, people that are born physically, I should say, they are spiritually dead. They're physically alive, but spiritually dead. Now, and in the process of that, they have no relationship to God that sustains and saves them. Hebrews chapter 6 and in verse 1, encouragement to grow to the believers. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, maturity, grow up, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God. You should get past that. Do you understand? Christ died, dead, over. Are you past that? You got to get past that. If you're caught up in that, don't get that. You got to get past it. You can't grow as long as you're there. You got to understand. Dead, stop, no more. God isn't going to go anywhere. God's finished with it. When did He finish with it? Well, before the foundation of the earth, Christ died. He died for the sin of all the world. Now, and therefore, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saves us. The flesh shall not glory in His presence. No works in any way, shape, or form. Galatians chapter 5. 19, 20, 21, the works of the flesh are, and all I got to do is read them, and you know, it's totally unfit. It's totally disconnected from God. Wickedness, idolatry, etc., etc. We know that. It's not connected. That's how it works. God, what did you do? You died on the cross before the foundation of the world so that we would be created in Adam, as it were. And coming out, we're dead in sin. We're born dead, spiritually dead. But You've made a wonderful promise to save us. And like Adam and Eve, we could believe. Like Abel, you could believe. Cain did not. You could believe if you want to. And God would restore the relationship in a wonderful saving way based on the person and work of Jesus Christ going to the cross. So now, Therefore, the works, you're not, they're dead. And you, before anything, you recognize they're unacceptable. Everyone born physically, they're unacceptable. But I died for them. I died. I made it possible to save them in a most wonderful way. And therefore, when you come to know me as your Savior, you're to understand what? It isn't your works that save you, not by works. You can't get saved by works. I condemn the works. The works are dead works. I reject them. So don't bring me your works. I crucified them. I don't want to see them. I don't want to see them. But I don't want to see them. I don't want to talk about them. Dead. Well, God, what do you mean? I did something wonderful for you when you came to know the Lord as your Savior. I paid the price for sin. By the way, I don't want to go that fast. Over to the Gospel of John and chapter 8. Christ died for the sin of the world, period, before it started. Otherwise, He couldn't start it without a solution. without a saving solution, without a solution that honors God, glorifies God. So John chapter 8, just to remind us, our Lord said, except you repent, you'll die in your sins, all right? So John chapter 8, picking up, please, in verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and you shall die in your sins. Whether I go, you cannot come. You're going to die in your sins, not because of your sin. Not because of your sin. You're going to die in your sins. In other words, you never got changed. You you didn't become a new creature. You're the same old person. Verse 24. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. 4. If ye believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. So God, you make it very clear, the sin question is answered. That's very important. Why is it very important? Because it involves works. And what did the Lord say in John 14 and in verse 12? The works that I do, you will do in greater quantity, quality. You're going to have mucho more evidence. Whose evidence? About me. My resurrection. It's all about me. My works. Not your sin. Because the sin's taken care of. Well, then God, but our works demonstrate what? Demonstrate the absence of God. Our works. Works of the flesh are, and then idolatry and witchcraft and all of these different things that are part of our makeup. And therefore, we people are unsaved. They have no right relationship to God. They have no life. They've never received, in a practical, profitable way, the love of God. They have no evidence. The works of the flesh bear evidence that they're lost, not their sin. Their works do. Find me life in your work. And there isn't any. There isn't any. In your words, your works. Now, sliding over and keeping that in mind, in what God is telling us, and sliding way over to put that together quickly to move to where we want to go, over to Revelation and chapter 20. And I hope it'll stand out a little fresher, clearer. Revelation chapter 20. And God is going to tell us what? The evidence. That's what I'm on. I'm going to give you, make sure the evidence is there. If you are saved, there should be some evidence. But it isn't about sin. No, being saved isn't about sin. I took care of that. I gave you the right and privilege to know me and honor me, to have eternal life, a unique relationship to who I am. I want to be able to see you and say of you, you are mine, you belong to me. I want to claim ownership. I want to be able to claim possession, to be able to hug you, but I can't hug you the way you are. Now, so God, here comes the judgment seat, great white throne judgment, for resurrection, the second resurrection of the dead. Now, and you know it, chapter 20 and verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, they've been there 1,000 years, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, that takes care of the devil and them, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, and from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. I saw a new heaven, new earth, but before that, as it were, verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to, not their sins, according to their works. their works. Their works. Why? I took care of the sins. And the works only evidence death. I made it possible for you to get saved to evidence life. If you do it. Otherwise, you have no life. And your works will show what? No life. No relationship. You're dead. Spiritually dead. Now, how can you possibly intend to enjoy God's wonderful heaven apart from when you're dead? You have no relationship to God. Now, and remember now, often people, we don't talk about heaven and that, people, but think about that for a minute. Most people don't want to talk about heaven. They don't want to think about bad, hell, or heaven. They don't want to think about the wonderment of heaven. They aren't happy about heaven. They don't care about heaven. If God took them to heaven, they'd be very unhappy. Because heaven's totally different. Heaven's all about God. Heaven's all about life. It isn't about anything else. So you aren't going to be happy there. People aren't going to be happy there. They don't want to be there. And they won't. Now, so here's the works. The works are going to judge them. That's correct. Now, having said that little bit about the works, and they need to be saved, and God is there to save them, and God is in his grace going to save them if they would but trust him. Now, having said that little bit, over to John, the Gospel of John again, and chapter 1, and reminding ourselves each time, the Gospel of John and chapter 1. Our Lord Jesus Christ did what for us? He said, it isn't going to be by your works, but it's going to be by my works, what I'm going to do. I'm going to make you a new creature. I'm going to make you have a new relationship. The old relationship, I reject. I'm going to exercise the new relationship. You read it in 1 Corinthians 15. If you insist on the old relationship, you're going to have nothing. It doesn't mean you won't be saved. You just won't have anything. But if you understand there is a new relationship, you're going to be able to take that relationship to me. I am the foundation, he said, and build on it. And that building is going to be there. That what work I do is going to be in there. To be conformed to the image of my son, etc., etc., etc. All of that's going to be there. Now, so John, what are you going to do, Lord? Well, you're going to save us by your grace. And I read it again because it's important. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, what's it all about? It's about God's grace. It's about God's glory. It's about having life. So God, we want to know, I'm awakened to the fact, here I am on planet Earth, and I'm physically alive and looking to you. I'm experiencing physical life. And God, you want me to have a wonderful experience of your kind of life. That is, to have I have a relationship to everything and everyone on Earth in some fashion and form. I need to have a relationship to you. My relationship to you, when that takes place, and I receive you as my Savior, when I have that relationship to you, that relationship outweighs, overrides, overrules all my other. So that I can understand now, God, this relationship never helped me at all to know you. But the Lord Jesus Christ, when I received him as my Savior, he made it possible for me to know, for us to know him in a most awesome way, a wonderful way, to be a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things are made new. God, when you look at us, you see your Son. Huh. And when we look at you, we see us in your Son. Wow, it's a unique thing. And that's what I want you to have. That's what I want you to enjoy.
Now, and therefore, life, grace, love, glory, all of these wonderful things, God's in your wonderful plan, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. Now, God, you've made all of that possible. Christ has risen again from the grave, and he himself has risen again, and he's front and center, as we've shared. Christ is the key to everything. And therefore, God, when you're showing what? I'm showing grace. I'm going to show my glory. I'm going to show my life. It isn't my life. It isn't my glory. It isn't my grace. It's yours, God. It's all about what you do, front and center. So therefore, God, being seated, risen, seated, exalted at the right hand of God, bearing witness. And that's what our assignment is. Now, having that assignment, Acts chapter 1. Having that assignment, then I want to understand, Acts chapter 1, it's to bear witness to who you are. If it's to bear witness to who you are, how can I bear witness to who you are without you? And the answer is, you can't. But, Acts 1:8, in order for you, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, my prized, privileged, personal witnesses, both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria unto the uttermost part of the earth. You're going to be my personal witness. And now, hang on, chapter 2, as you know, we did all of this, but just if you kept, we're just going to do a little just to keep it fresh in our mind, because it is so strange and foreign to our normal daily existence, you have to keep doing it till it catches on. Acts chapter 2 and in verse 30. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on the throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Now, that's about our wonderful Lord and Savior going to the cross and rising again. Verse 32, this Jesus, this, according to the Scriptures, Jesus who died, crucified, and rose again according to the Scriptures, the gospel. Verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. So that's what, and the church, local church, chapter 4, not only personally, but the local assembly, verse 33. But with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. Two things, resurrection and grace. That's what it's about. And you want to lock that in. Now, how am I going to get involved in that? It's about showing life, showing grace to the glory of God that he's risen again. That's what we're sitting here for. That's the purpose. Wow. That's an awesome thing. Now, hang on to that, if you would. Now, having said that little bit, and while you're there, and you know without turning there, why not? Over to Ephesians. In Ephesians. And God, we have a relationship requires God in order to produce it. And God, you said, and greater works will they do than I did. In other words, it's going to be multiplied 100 times, 1,000 times. Over, and I'm going to demonstrate, not about them, I'm going to demonstrate grace. Where? In them. I'm going to demonstrate glory. Where? In them. I'm going to demonstrate life. Where? In them. Whose glory? Whose grace? Whose life? Mine. It isn't about them, it's about me, said God. Now, in Ephesians, you know chapter 5, picking up if I can, in verse 30 directly. We are members, for we are members of the of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. We have a very, very unique relationship to God to show his life in a very, very, very unique way. In fact, God, without it, it's impossible for us even to come to grips with this, to even understand it. His glory, his grace, he's the head. That's right. He's the wonderful, wonderful head. And you're to bear witness, he's going to bear witness to his body. The body is going to bear witness to the head. Chapter 1, you know these things, just let them get locked in. God, what did you do for the church? You made Christ the head as a gift to the body. The gift to the body was Christ the head. Chapter 1, verse 22. And hath put all things, God hath put all things under his feet, Christ, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. And then you don't guess it, you know, verse 23, the church, which is his body, the body, members of his body, his bones, etc. His body, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Wow. So God, the body represents the head represents the body. It's an awesome thing. That's right. So what I'm doing, making possible, is a unique relationship to me. So the works, your repentance from dead works, poop, no more. I don't want to hear them. But this is my thought, my opinion, my thing. It doesn't matter what your opinion is. You can have 1,000 opinions and 1,000 things. What difference does it make? What's that got to do with it? What's that got to do with life? Is that all right? Tell me what your opinion, authority, thinking has to do with life, the life that belongs to God. In what way does it connect? It doesn't. It doesn't connect. It doesn't. The wisdom, thinking themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, so God looking to you in your wonderful grace and kindness, and it's all about your grace and glory, as you said. You're working while you're in Ephesians. Slide over to chapter 2 while you're there. And in chapter 2, of the grace, since we mentioned it, might as well read it. Verse 5, we read it a moment ago. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened, made us alive together, where? With Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus at the right hand of God even now. That's an awesome thing. Why is God sitting there and his body still here, part of it anyway, that Peter, James, and John are there? Verse 7, then in the ages to come, all the way and forever, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, therefore, whosoever's that are nobodies are going to be seated with Christ, in Christ, the his body. And what are they there? What is it all about? It's about God's grace. Why God's grace? Because Jesus Christ came to demonstrate from ever in back, before the world was ever created, God's wonderful saving plan to die on Calvary's cross. And that is grace. Angels get educated, and they are. Humans understand that it's grace, not of works. Nothing of works, because Adam sinned. And everything in sin is dead in sins. Dead. Lifeless. God, what have you done? I've gone and given them life, if they would but receive it. Adam can be saved. Abel can be saved, Abraham can be saved, we can be saved. Wow. It's all about humans being saved. Uh-huh. And it's about grace, my wonderful grace. Without it, that's about. It's about grace. So I'm going to demonstrate. Remember now, on the cross, you don't have to turn there, John chapter 1, verse 10. He came to the world, and the world knew him not. They didn't care. just another person. The Jews, verse 11, received him not. They rejected him. Well, there's no Gentiles and no Jews. So who's going to be his witness? God's going to take a whosoever and save them and relate them to God in such a special way, because how could they demonstrate his resurrected life, that he's risen again, without believing in their heart that God hath raised him from the dead? How could they not? They had to have that in their heart, that's right, so that they could have life, wonderful, wonderful life, to demonstrate it. That's called grace. God, that's right. That's why I got him up there. That's why I got him here and up there. To demonstrate what? Grace. To everyone. Angels, bad, good, everybody, Old Testament saints. I'm going to demonstrate to everything, to everyone, what grace is. Grace, where is grace? In the person of Jesus Christ, God's Son, who is full of grace and truth. He, God's Son, God's body. The Son has a body. He's the head, and the body shows him specially, super-duper, like no other. What are they showing? The grace of God. The grace of God. That's what they're showing. It's about, no, it isn't about anything else. No, it isn't. There's no other credentials. There's no other thing you can claim and say you have and can do. You don't have that. You don't have that at all. Therefore, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. Lest any man should boast. And we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto what? Good works. Created for good works. And you know from reading all over the place, that the good works, that God had set up these works before the foundation of the world, before you were ever born. God had them in mind. He didn't have you here and then who knows what they're going to do. God had you born physically to be able to enjoy his saving grace, to represent him in a most awesome way. And that would be for everybody, but especially now in unbelief, Gentiles, Jews. Thus the church of God is the only thing that's bearing witness to who he is, and it's bearing witness of his wonderful saving grace in a most wonderful way. And we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, before, that we should walk in them. So God, before anything was, ever will be, you did that. And the grace of God. Now, Paul, and you, did you people back then, did you understand this? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And you will note, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And may I, Paul, you're going to say it. This is early on, Paul's going to say it, let alone later. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and if I can, go directly, hit the target, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, not for nothing. I capitalized on it. I took advantage of it, his grace. But I labored more abundantly than they all. What was the zeal, the great impetus that kept you going? Yet not I. It wasn't you. No. The grace of God, which was with me. That's what moved me. God's grace. What on earth motivates? What is it moving? It's the grace of God. The grace of God. Saved by grace, kept by grace, it's grace. Do you understand? Marvelous grace. That's what it is. It's all about grace. Well, what's grace? Grace means it's all about God, not works. All about God, grace. So you want to get a little bit tuned in and get a little fresh instead of having a come and going people do, well, all kinds of things. What? No, you want to have that refreshment, that experience. You have a physical experience, don't you, of being alive? Are you being physically alive and experiencing it? Most of you. When you get saved, God meant you to have His life experiencing it. That's where the works come in, God's life. The works that I do, you will do greater. I'm going to do the works in you. I'm going to outwork my works in your life. That's what I'm going to do in a most wonderful way. I'm going to do that. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, so all God's wonderful, wonderful grace, and just think of, I was trying to think of a way to say that, think of a flower, and a flower is there, and the flower is there, and it wants to express itself. I had a little flower. I hold the flower up, and it expresses itself. And here's the flower. Now the flower is blossoming, blooming, and wow, it gets your attention, and then its seeds get out. Now use your imagination. Here's the field of lilies, a lily, and there's thousands of lilies. All you can see, you don't see any grass. You just see the lilies. Isn't that impressive? The one flower has shown itself with many, many lilies in the field. God is showing Himself with His church. He's supposed to be showing Him. He's going to be. We're supposed to understand it. God is showing Himself that He's God. And He said, wherever, whosoever, all over the world, I'm going to do it. You're My witnesses everywhere, no matter how you cut the cookie. Now, having said that, over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews in chapter 2, you'll recall, interesting statement. And Hebrews chapter 2, picking up if I can, in verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, like us, born in Bethlehem of Judea, for the suffering, that's why He was born, to die, otherwise He can't die, for suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. That means the God made man, crowned with glory. Man was made in the image and likeness of God to glorify God. That's right. Verse 9. Crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. So God, that's what You did. You, in Your perfection, Your wonderful, wonderful person, went and died on the cross. That's why You came, to demonstrate and to show forth Your grace. That's right. And in showing forth My grace, for it became, verse 10, for it became Him, God, became Him, for whom are all things, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things. What is there that doesn't belong to God isn't involving God, even the devil himself. And by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. Think of the flowers. One flower, the sun. Many sons. Many sons. For what? To show God. Many sons. In the Son. To show God. That's awesome. That's awesome. Little lilies out there. Flowers. Wow. Now, hang on. Bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. God, Jesus Christ, is the set-apart Son of God. And everyone that receives the Lord as their Savior is set apart. So Christ is sanctified, and so is everyone else in him. Who did this? God the Father did. He set them apart in a most special way. Special, always special. Now, having said that little bit, over with me if you would, and remember now as we move along, think of John 10, verse 10. You don't have to turn there. I am the door, by me, if any man enter in, he'll be saved. And, verse 10, chapter 10. God, what did you say? I have come that they might have life, and that they might what? Have it more, M-O-R-E, more abundantly. That's what. What'd you come for? To give them abundant life. I'm going to show myself in most awesome way. That's what I'm going to do. Is anyone interested? That's what I want to know. Anyone interested in that? You say, oh, people can come and go in all kinds of organizations and religious and systems and all of it. But God, it isn't about that. No, it isn't. No, it's about a unique relationship to you. Now, so when we receive you as our Savior, John 1:12, we receive and we have the right, the privilege, the power to become children of yours. Very special thing. Now, over if you would please, to Romans chapter 8. Before you do 8, do Galatians. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians in chapter 4. And in Galatians in chapter 4, picking up in thought, if I may, in verse 4, Galatians. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to fulfill the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that purpose we might receive the adoption. Remember the word adoption, to be placed, the verb to be placed, set, and then the word son, to be placed as a son, adoption. That's the word son. It isn't like child, abort little children, technon. It isn't like that. That has to do with someone that's born, like being born physically, born spiritually. But this word is like adopted, son. With all of the benefits, all the benefits, God places the believing heart in his Son. Son. Now, and verse 6, adoption of son, and because we are sons, there's the same little word, sons, not like being born. This is the word with full benefits instantly. Intuitively, you all know you're alive. You can't explain it. You don't need to explain it. You intuitively know it. You don't have to give an explanation to it. It's just something is. Intuitive. It's part of your being alive. You just know. God, that's right. You're sons. And you're going to know. Verse 6. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son, God, the Holy Spirit, of his Son, into our hearts, crying, God, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to represent the Lord Jesus Christ, where in your heart, and representing you, representing the person and work of Christ, and he's going to do so in what kind of way? He's going to be able to say, on an ongoing basis, present tense command, Abba, Father. Now you're going to say that. That's right. Do you need that? Absolutely you need it, because you're a son of Adam, first one. You need to be a son of the last Adam, Christ Jesus. And you're caught up in being the first Adam. And I know when my father was alive and all that stuff. I knew my father. See? You know your father, maybe. Now, therefore, you're going to cry, Abba, Father. That's right. Now, over to Romans. Spirit of God's going to do that. And you know this. All I'm doing is making it a point, I hope, to lock it in. If you're a son, be one. No? You have physical life. You don't fight being alive. You have experience of breathing and eating pizza, whatever you want. You need to be spiritually alive and exercise it. How am I going to do that? Well, are you a son or aren't you? Well, no, I'm a lady. You know, I understand that. But forget male and female. God, you placed us where? Where are you, a new creature? In Christ. In Christ, the man, Christ Jesus, the Son of Man. That's where you're a new creature. So forget the physical body. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now, therefore, Romans chapter 8, as you know, 4, verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption. That's right, we just read about it. The Spirit of God, that's his ministry. Whereby we, he cries, as we've said 1,000 times, he cries so that we can cry, Father. And that's how you learn to talk, wasn't it? You sat there, little baby in your crib or something, and you heard dad, mom, and you picked it up after you had practiced saying no. Yeah, so first word you learn is no. Anyway, you go. And you're going to go. And you're going to say, and Father, I'm your Father, Father, Father. What happens if I didn't say that? Here they are, the children. I didn't say that to them. Here comes 25 other people in, men. They don't know who their father is until I tell them. True? How could you ever know your father if it was not spelled out to you? You had to have it spelled out. God, what are you doing? I'm spelling out. I'm the Father. You got all this stuff out here. I'm the Father. And the Spirit of God crying in our heart, and we cry it, Father, Father, therefore, we want to exercise the wonderful right and privilege of being a son in God's awesome, awesome, awesome way. Therefore, looking to God for his grace, for his glory, for his life. And we didn't do much, but I hope you got to get pieces together. You got to understand why greater works will you do than I do. Because you aren't going to do your works anymore. You aren't going to live your life anymore on your terms. You're going to live your life on my terms and enjoy. So whether you eat or drink, you all these things, you know it. What are you going to do it? Eat or drink, or whatever you do. Do it to the what? To the glory of God. Who's doing it to the glory of God? A son of God is eating to the glory of God. A son of God is exercising and living in God's grace for his glory. Eating and drinking, whatever you do, mow the lawn, empty the garbage, whatever you do, do it as unto me. You're a son. Be a son. No? Be one. Waiting for an experience. Come on. Forget experiences. Practice truth. And the experience will come. Practice being a son. Is that so hard? I'm a son. You'd say, if your father, if I had a picture of my father, I could say, Father, I'm a son. But I don't have a picture. I don't need it because that's all gone. No, I have you. So Father, Father, Father. I can say God, that's true, but God is my Father. I got to get the relationship straight. And when I understand I'm a son,
my son. My father used to do that, you know. He did. My father was very kind to me in growing up. And that my father would do anything to help me. In fact, we used to go out and do things and eat, and sometime we'd do that, not a lot, but you'd do that. And they'd go to the place somewhere and have a lobster, because the big thing, you know, lobster was up there, Boston, that. And you have a lobster. And I would never order a lobster because it cost too much money, and I didn't want my dad to have to spend any money. So I was very chintzy. But my father said, I'm going to order you a lobster. My father did that. My father wanted good things. He's an earthly, evil father, and he wanted good things. The Spirit of God is a wonderful father, and he wants good things. And either you're going to be one or you're not. You don't have to be. Do anything you want. Go along. I'm telling you, it doesn't impress me. I want to see. Why would I want to be saved? I got to have something to be saved. I'd want something in here to happen. I want to get saved. I don't need a system. I don't need a uniform. I need a heart change. And only God, you can do that. Wow. I've got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. Not greater works are you going to do. You're going to evidence who I am. My wonderful working. Our key headline verses. Philippians 2. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13. Reason. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do and to work of his good pleasure. It's God's privilege. So I'm going to be saved. Then be saved. And God said, listen, I'm glad to help you be saved. I want you to enjoy being saved. No? The Son, you know. That's what's awesome. I got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. Our Father and God, thank you for your word, your work, your grace, and your mercy. Spirit of God, thank you very much for caring and patience, your patience. God, where would we be? So honor our Lord Jesus Christ, honor these dear people, and our God, we're going to look to you for the boy, the girl, the man, the woman, to God, for us to just, God help us, whoever we are, to get a hold of the marvel of just being alive physically in order to be alive before you spiritually, to be able to enjoy and know you, and to be able to say, I am a son of the Most High God, in the Son, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God, thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.